do thank you for this day and just ask that you would just settle our hearts before you, Lord. And we know that outside these walls, things are so fast and speeding up that it just seems like there's not enough time. But Lord, just settle us here before you, Lord, to not look past this time together, but Lord, that we'd be open and ready to hear what you have for us. That you would just unveil the Lord Jesus to us even more and more, so that we may walk more in love with you. Not from obligation, but from desire in a heart that's changed. Lord, we just thank you for this time, and we praise you for the life we have in you. And we just ask that you'd speak to us today in Jesus' name. Amen. Can't change my mind. Let's turn to Hosea. It did start from my study in Luke. And then I had to find it in not my Bible. Hosea, we're just going to look at a few verses and then we're going to end up in Isaiah. I just want to talk about a couple things and just go from there. So, I'll be honest, I struggle as you go through, like Tammy said, you read, like during Christmas, you do worship, it's the same songs every year, everybody wants to hear their favorites. And sometimes going through the same things is hard to continue to be in a frame of worship rather than just doing it. And sometimes doing teaching, sometimes, well, Chris was talking about it. He's taking a couple of weeks off. It's like, because it's nice to be able to just get in your word, not to have to study, just to go seek the Lord. Like, not to have to say something, but to have something said to you. You know what I mean? So, I try to balance that. Like, do my what I'm reading and then let it lead and then go. But I saw some things I thought this week. Nothing major. You guys knew these things. But I want to read Hosea 10:12. And then we're going to look at Hosea 11:4. Not we don't always have that. So Hosea 12:10 says, "Sow for yourselves righteousness, reap in mercy, break up the fallow ground, for it's time to seek the Lord till he comes and rains righteousness on you." I always had this verse in my head. I always read that, break up the fallow ground. I remembered it from a long time ago, and I couldn't remember where it was from, and then I was just looking stuff up today, and I found it, or not today, but this week, and I found it. But one of the things that it seems to me as we look in here, and I know it's not I, but Christ, right? But it seems like there's a lot of places in Scripture that the I seems to be doing things. The me, right? I mean, we're encouraged to do things. Sow for yourselves. Right? So is that an action on our part? Yay? Nay? No, not trick questions. Well, maybe. I don't know. Sometimes it seems like a trick because you have so many doctrines or theologies that's, you know, you become this person once you're saved and then you walk this out and you just keep pulling yourselves up and you keep going. And then you have the other end of the extreme that's like there's nothing good that you can do and add to your salvation and Jesus has to do it all through. But somewhere in there, they have to come together because scripturally, they align. Right? So, where I do believe that if there's anything good coming forth from my life, it's Christ living in me, living out of me, in areas where I've repented and yielded and allowed Him to bring forth His truth from my life. So He tells us here to sow for yourselves righteousness. What does it look like to sow righteousness? Anybody want to go bring some coffee up? For me, I mean.
So I went to the reference of Jeremiah 4:3. For thus says the Lord to the men of Judah and Jerusalem, break up your fallow ground and do not sow among thorns. Circumcise yourselves to the Lord and take away the foreskins of your heart. So the opposite of, is not doing things that are unrighteous. So what is righteous? Doing things that are good and fruitful of the Lord. That would be righteousness.
Anyone else? I mean, if we're being encouraged to walk out selling righteousness, we might want to know what righteousness is. I mean, it is doing right. I'm not taking away. I'm sorry? No, I just, what it means to you, and when you read these things, are we're going to walk out. What it means, it's like putting Dave or Saul's armor on. It doesn't fit. It has to be your own.
Well, your righteousness is a filthy rag apart from the Spirit being in that thing that which we are doing. So by allowing the Lord to lead and guide us in those fruitful things that we do, that's sowing righteousness. Including Him in all that we do. Are
any farmers here?
Any
farmers? So, you know, this is an amazing process. You actually have to back up one verse.
Mm-hmm.
It says, let Judah plow, let Jacob break up the unplowed ground for himself. So, you know, farmer doesn't sit there and say, oh, Lord, bless me. I'm just hoping and praying that you're going to plant that seed and plow that ground. He actually has to get his rear end out of bed.
Agreed.
And go plow it. And seed and use good seed and do it in the right way, the right time.
And not near thorns and right.
Yeah. Okay. So what does it mean? So as part of it, we have a job to do, sure. The Lord said in play, the way that things grow. And so we're responsible to do the part that He gave us to do.
So we say righteousness. I like Corinthians tells us that He has become righteousness for us. He who knew no sin became sin for us that we might become the righteousness of God in Him. Right? 2 Corinthians 5:21. So righteousness is selling out Christ, you know, and walking out in the truths and the reality of the attributes we've learned of Him. He's love, He's joy, He's peace, kindness, goodness, gentleness, self-control, all these things practically walk out and work out. These are the things that we sow. Or the opposite can be true, which would be bitterness, wrath, anger, malice. These are unrighteous, right? It has to be a work in us. I'm going to get to where I really feel led, but the Lord, as you read down, there's a breaking up of the fallow ground. What is fallow ground? Anybody know? Since nobody's a farmer here, it's going to be a farming lesson. What's farm? You can teach me. What is fallow ground?
Hard. Hard is not productive.
Okay. Why is ground usually fallow?
No rain. Not being tilled up.
It might not have been worked. It might have been abandoned for a while. There's a bunch of different reasons. So as we do farming, we do.
Right.
So there are areas that we reclaim. And so we start from the very beginning. Fallow, the idea that when you think about the ruts, how deep does a rut go? Well, you have to go fallow ground. You have to dig down beyond the ruts to get it completely, to get it smoothed out. So fallow ground.
Could be unplowed areas.
Could.
Rock.
Or
could be overly used areas. Like your paths.
Worn down.
Path, like it's an area that it's no longer fertile because it's been trampled on and you're familiar.
Not even the idea of the ruts.
The ruts.
The Lord has spoken to me and us before about the ruts that we have in our lives.
Right.
Being, you know, digging down those old habits, if you will.
Here's the definition. The definition. It says of farmland plowed or harrowed, but left unsowed for a period of time to reassure its fertility in part of the crop rotation, or to avoid surplus production.
So it's ground that's prepared that's never seeded.
It could be the 7-year jubilee. Don't touch the ground. That's it.
Right. You have that after.
Refurbish it and break it up.
It's multiple things.
It also says that when there's a long fallow where nothing seems to happen. So it could be for a period of time when nothing's going on.
Right. Like 70 years when you're dispersed. Yeah. And things like that. But that's put on the peoples.
That's what?
Put on the people here in the verse. Break up the fallow grape.
Mm-hmm.
Right? So there's areas in our lives that we need to, like, yes, we know the Lord wants to sow His seed and His water, and it tells us that the seed that falls on good ground, you know, we don't want to be the rocky ground or anything else, right? So we want to have ourselves in a place where we can receive, to break up the fallow ground, which means to get yourself in a place that it's ready to receive. And so it could be that we ask the Lord, the Lord's got to do it. He has got to bring us to a place that He breaks through the hardness of our lives so that He can sow His seed and that To do that, it has to be a place of agreeing and yielding and knowing that it has to happen. That there is times of fallow. Sometimes it could be from overwalking. Sometimes it could be from underwatering. Sometimes it could be from a long still. It could be for all these same different reasons and different circumstances. And the Lord wants your ground to stay fertile. That's the ultimate point here, to have a good fertile ground, which is His desires for our heart. And that's why He says it's time to seek the Lord. So what keeps the ground fertile, what keeps the what plows up that ground, what breaks it up, is seeking the Lord. So that He can open you and be a place where you are ready to receive from Him His seed as it gives out. It's a time of Lord of maybe repentance beforehand, that you can be broken. Or that His word comes through you and you can be tilled. You know, and all these, and the work that goes into the place, we bring ourselves to that, and then He says, but how long do you do it? Till He comes and rains righteousness on you. And I think that that's important, because it's not just, I have my devotion time, because that can become fallow, right? Fallow ground. Or it could be in church. It could be anything. But He says, we do this until it's time to seek the Lord, till He comes and rains righteousness on you. So it's not just a one-time thing. It's a constantly going back to Him. And that we seek Him so that we know, so we can learn that righteousness. So the cool thing is they sow for yourself righteousness, right? But then He says, receive it. How long do we keep seeking after and breaking until He rains His righteousness on us? Right? So to give out righteousness, it seems like you have to receive righteousness.
There's two more important points to the message. That is, every 2 years we have to check our soil, we have to do soil samples and see where, see what the soil is missing, you know, test and see if you're approved, right? And then the other thing is, you know, it's one thing to break up the ground. You can throw seed in an acre on until you put some fertilizer in it, until you feed it what it needs.
Mm-hmm.
It's not going to go anywhere.
St. Gary should have shared this today.
Mm-hmm.
No, it's right. There's so many different things that take place in this. Because he actually, verse 13, I don't want to go in there and read down, but he says, you plowed wickedness. See, what they were doing is they're plowing through lives doing wickedly, ripping up the ground. And usually when you're plowing wickedness, you will reap corruption, wickedness, right? So it says that we go after, in verse 12, it says, for it's time to seek the Lord. And I like this, the Lord showed me, because, you know, for me, I always looked at, I know a lot of people like the holidays and they celebrate it a little more, Christmas and Easter and different things. I've always just, once I've gotten saved, it's just every day's alike. Every day's Christmas to me. Every day's Easter. I have the death of Christ running in my brain and the resurrection of Christ. And so the death, the resurrection all through there, just constantly, well, not constantly, but rolling through my brain. And so if he says it's time to seek the Lord, I just think it's awesome that we know who it is that we're seeking. And during Hosea here, you have, you know, they weren't really living right. Right? They were plowing wickedness. He's encouraging them to break up fallow ground. I know this is a condensed thing. There's a lot of things going on. There's transgressions. They're not serving, trusting the Lord. They're trusting in their own selves. But the most important thing I want to is how does God deal with that? How does God deal with us? We were talking a little bit this morning about God sending the evil spirit. Different things like that, and I'm not sure that those things are always true, that the Lord might allow things, but it's not, he's not the initiator. So if you look at chapter 11 verse 4, this is God's example. I drew them with gentle cords. I think so. Some versions say bands. Oh, with bands of love. Maybe I just need to keep reading.
Cords of human kindness and ties of love.
Say that again.
I led them with cords of human kindness, with ties of love.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yes. And with bands of love. So how does God draw you? I'm sorry?
I'm just ever wanting ways. It's by love he draws you, by kindness. It's kindness that's irresistible.
And it's gentle.
And it's gentle.
I'm sorry?
With honey, not vinegar.
Okay.
And that's the air.
It's with bands of love, and I was with those who take the yoke of their neck, take the yoke from their neck. I stooped and fed them. So here's, I know this is later, but these are pictures of technically righteousness, of righteousness, right? The Lord's saying how he does it with love. He removes the yoke of bondage. Whom the Son sets free is free indeed. And I stooped and fed them. I know you think about when it talks about the yoke, Matthew says, anyone, you know, in 10:28.
Take my yoke.
Yes, take my yoke. I am.
I am meek and lowly of heart.
Okay. Yep. Meek. Some versions say gentle. Right? So as he's talking about, with gentle cords, come unto me, all you who are labor and heavy laden, I will give you rest. And, you know, to learn from him, to take his yoke. His yoke is easy and his burden is light. Right? So Jesus uses this example and brings us to that point that we can see that he's stepping out. And the way he meets and tells you he's going to meet. It's the goodness of God that leads to repentance, right? That's what it says in Romans. Jeremiah says, it's with loving kindness I've drawn you. Right? Here we have bands of love wrapped around us. A lot of people, it could be just cords that help hold. That's not to make you a mummy. You can wrap cords and bands of cloth around people to mummify them. But John was told, they told him, when he raised John, remove his wrappings, right? His covering. So it's not that. So, it's band. It's kind of funny because it's kind of like, you think the rubber band, if you put rubber band in there, and it just keeps stretching and stretching. It's not fun when they break. But, you know, pictures fall apart. You have those bands, which means you can't get outside the band. Right? If the rubber band working, it can stretch and stretch and stretch, but it's still in the band. Or if you're on the outside and it's got a hold of you, it can stretch and stretch until you snap back. Right? These are the ways I think the Lord loves us, that He keeps us, wraps His arms, His loving arms around us and keeps us close. He warns us and tells us to sow righteousness. Or just tells you the simple fact, what you sow, you're going to reap. So they were sowing corruption. They received corruption. But He was encouraging them the whole time to sow in righteousness, to seek after Him, to not have such a familiar life just because they were His people, that they allowed themselves to have fallow ground and not continue to go after Him. They were content with being His people rather than following after Him. So when I read here that I drew them with the core, gentle cords, with bands of love, it just reminds me, we always have to understand how God interacts with us. God does not change. He's not mocked. We looked at it in James this morning, that He does not tempt with evil. You know, so there, God has characters that He will not go outside of. And so if you understand those characters, it's easier to relate to things going on around you, to be able to sustain. And also remember when we talked about last week that you can live a perfect life and give your life for everyone and the world's going to want to kill you. Right? Just like Jesus. Well, they want to kill you, Jesus, didn't they? And that's what's the problem. But He says, they've stooped and fed them. It's His desire to feed us. It's His desire to wrap His arms around us. It's His desire to lead us into the paths of righteousness for His name's sake. To feed on His faithfulness. To rest in Him. And to not think that is something that can get boring and over trampled and put down and not continually seeding and watering. To remember that. The joy of your salvation. In Revelation, the Laodicean churches, He was more angry with the lukewarm than hot or cold. Just comfortable in those type things. So the Lord doesn't want us just coasting, totally resting on His salvation, but yet He wants us resting on salvation, but it shouldn't be a coasting method. It should be a driving method to Himself. And a desire with that to be outreach, to speak out and to encourage those around us. So, I probably should have studied more before I shared this today, but again, when you read, I stooped down and fed them and took off the yokes from their neck. If you turn to Isaiah 58, we're going to talk about fasting after we all had donuts. And if you want to read Isaiah 59, you'll get a perfect picture of what world leaders look like today. It's just amazing how So there's a couple, I heard a teaching one time, it was just interesting, you know, people get the ifs and whens in Scripture mixed up. Like, a lot of people say, like, if you fast and when you sin. But Jesus actually said, when you fast, and Paul said, if you sin. Right? Scripturally it says, when you fast, and if you sin. But a lot of times we walk around, when I sin and if I fast. It's like completely opposite. Didn't say you had to. But Jesus says when you fast in Matthew, right? Okay. I'm not going to be here talking about food. So whether you ate, didn't eat, I don't know that that matters according to this. So let's just read Isaiah 58. We just want to look at a couple things. Because we get the Lord's heart behind fasting, which is basically just denying yourself and seeking after the Lord, really what it talks about in Hosea. A lot of food is mixed with that. Other things are mixed with that. But most importantly, when it comes to fasting, and look at it's a heart attitude going after God. And then what that spills over into in life. So Isaiah 58 says, cry aloud, spare not, lift up your voice like a trumpet. Tell my people their transgression and their house of Jacob their sins. Yet they seek me daily and delight to know my ways as a nation that did righteousness and did not forsake the ordinances of their God. They ask of me the ordinances of justice. They take delight in approaching God. Why have we fasted, they say, and you have not seen? Why have we afflicted our souls and you take no notice? In fact, in the day of your fast, you find... Okay. So you have people asking God, we're fasting all this and you're not taking any pleasure, right? It seems like a good statement at first, and it says it's their transgression. It's kind of funny. This is your transgression. Now, hear this from the Lord. Here's your transgression. You seek me daily. You delight to know my ways. And really, the nation that did righteousness would be acting as if they've done righteousness. It's kind of interesting. In their mind, the Jewish people were coming like, I'm doing everything right. And they saw the act of fasting overriding the heart devotion towards the Lord. Right? Didn't we seek you daily? Didn't we do this? Didn't we do that? It all looked back on them. But he's saying the heart is the important thing. In fact, the day of your fast, you find pleasure and exploit all your laborers. You fast and you strive with the fists of wickedness. You will not fast as you... Now, so here we go. You will not fast as you do this day. Here's the Lord's fast coming up. And then keep in mind what we just read in Hosea. Okay? And that's why I'm reading this. Is this the fast I've chosen? A day for a man to afflict his soul? It's a question. You have to answer it. Is this the day that the Lord's... Is this the fast God's chosen for you? A day for a man to afflict his soul? Yes or no? Maybe. For here it's no. And actually, it's not to afflict your soul. And I think it's important. Is it to bow down his head like a bulrush and to spread out sackcloth and ashes? Would you call this a fast and an acceptable day to the Lord? Question. Okay, he answers it then. Is this not the fast I've chosen? Okay. Top part's a no. Verse 6. Here's the Lord. Is this not the fast I've chosen? And keep in mind, Hosea. I'm going to read it again. Verse, I drew you with gentle cords, with bands of love, and I was with them as one who took the yoke from their neck and stooped and fed them. That's Hosea. Now here's the Lord's fast. Is this not the fast that I have chosen for you? To loose the bonds of wickedness. What are we to sell?
Righteousness.
You loose, you submit, you surrender, you take up and hold. To undo heavy burdens, to let the oppressed go free, and that you may break every yoke. Is it not to share your bread with hungry, and that you bring to your house the poor who are cast out? When you see the naked, that you cover him, and not hide yourself from your own flesh? Then your light shall break forth like the morning, and your healing shall spring forth speedily, and your righteousness shall go before you, and the glory of the Lord shall be your rear guard. Then you shall call, and the Lord will answer. You shall cry, and he will say, Here I am. If you take away the yoke from your midst, the pointing of the finger, and the speaking wickedness, if you extend your soul to the hungry, and you satisfy the afflicted soul, then your light shall dawn in the darkness, and your darkness shall be as the noonday. The Lord will guide you continually and satisfy your soul with drought and strengthen your bones. You shall be like a water garden and like a spring of water whose waters do not fail. Those from among you shall build the old waste places. You shall raise up the foundations of many generations, and you shall be called the repairer of the breach, the restorer of streets to dwell in. If you turn away your foot from the Sabbath, from doing your pleasure on my holy day, and call the Sabbath a delight, the holy day of the Lord honorable, and shall honor him, not doing your own ways, not finding your own pleasure, nor speaking your own words, then you shall delight yourself in the Lord, and I will cause you to ride on the hills of the earth. High hills of the earth, and feed you with the heritage of Jacob your father. The mouth of the Lord has spoken. The Lord's hand is not shortened that he can't take. It's right after that. Nor is ear heavy that he cannot hear. So we have, I'm going to stop there because it says your iniquities have separated you from your God, and your sins have hidden his face from you. That's 59. I just read that because we see God's heart, his desire, and how to go out, how to be those ones that break the yoke, to lift the burdens. How do we sow in righteousness? How do we walk to a dying world and to a struggling family, body of Christ? Well, when you see someone heavy laden with a burden, you get a little lifted. Now I can't sit there and say, well, how to lift it? Because I don't know the burden. But the burden, when it presents itself, gives you an opportunity to respond. Not with pointing fingers, say like, oh, see, you get what you read. You said what you read, right? And you start pointing at fingers and this is happening, you know, and start going down the list, da-da-da-da-da-da-da. Instead of saying, don't worry about this, go for the answer. Seek after righteousness. Seek after truth. Go after God. Let him corral you in his love and his entrust the band. You read Jeremiah where it says that he is a protector in their back, correct? When you break up the fallow ground, I believe. He hedges us around. And I know that things come through them hedges, but even through after those things take place, he still hedges us. And he still is consuming and trying to draw us to himself with love, even when we're hurt and even when things happen. And to my desire, and with the Lord, it's Christmas time. We hear the same messages, you hear the same stories. Don't allow your ground to become fallow. Don't allow it to be tread down. Break it up. Lord, speak to me again for the first time. I want to hear your voice. I don't want to be hardened. from your seed. I want soil to fall on good and fertile ground. I want, and just seek, go after it. Go after the baby Jesus, knowing that he came to die. And it's the same reason you and I are here. When we're born, we're going to die. And what we have with our life is what to do with it. And the best thing we can do is surrender and just rest in the Lord and allow him to lead us and to lift burdens. Y'all know what it feels like when the burdens aren't lifted around you, don't you? He's saying, have compassion. You know what you're struggling through? Now go lift the burden. Go help someone. Go reach out the love of Christ. Let the love of Christ compel you to go. And so, and what that is I receive from the Lord that which I also delivered unto you. What Paul did from you. I'm receiving from him. And when I receive, it's not just to be a receiver. It's to receive and to actually just flow. To let it come in and go out. The things, the love that you receive from the Lord, he wants you to take and sow. Sow those seeds of righteousness. Plow up the fallow ground and keep seeking after him until that righteousness has come. Until you are walking by faith, trusting in his righteousness, you'll never settle and be at ease in your salvation. Right? If I'm still trying to figure it out, looking at the mirror, and am I saved or not? Yeah, I'm going to be here one day, here another day. But if I look to what Jesus says and I trust him, I can rest and have peace. Many people aren't in a place where they're secure in their salvation. And it's a burden that you can lift by knowing the loving God that has given you security. Right? So the things that you've learned, he wants you to use to unburden. So he's not teaching you for you only. He's teaching so he can live his life through you, and the things he does in you, he wants to continue to do out to the world around you. And all we have to do is just be pliable ground and open and yielded and trusting in him and knowing that it's not I, but it's Christ. But I do need to live a life of fasting. Fasting, Old Testament term. New Testament. Pick up your cross. Fasting back then, you didn't eat food. Right? You denied yourself. Pick up your cross and follow. Deny yourself, pick up your cross and follow me. It's the same principle. That when you're willing to lay down your life out of love for the Lord and seeking after him for righteousness, that you're willing to go out and help the needy. Look, we all know it's a dark world. We all say it. We see it. It's getting worse. Keep going down the same thing. Well, God says if you do these things, that he will meet you. And every time one light switch gets turned on, it's a little less dark. And so if we live in a way that we want to see people unburdened, Christmas is the time of year to do it. Because we received the gift of eternal life, now it's time to give it. To give it, to even want to give it, you're probably going to want to be enjoying it. If you're not enjoying your salvation, I highly doubt you're sharing it. Because if I'm not happy about it, or if it's not gospel, if it's not good news to me, why would I share it? Like, hey, you guys want to suffer in some misery? Here, come with me. No, it's like, here's freedom. To get you away from everything that you've blown, ruined, and this is what you're here for. So I encourage you to fast. I encourage you to seek the Lord. To live a life of denial, knowing that the denial is to lift up the Lord and to help those so that they can see the Lord. And I think that that's really where God has us, why we're here. If not, he'd just say, oh, you believe in me? Don't need you anymore, right? We're here for a purpose, and the purpose is to let God be glorified, right? And the only way we do that is as we glorify Him. And it works out. It's not a salvation for myself. It's to let the press go free and loosing bonds of wickedness, just like people did for us when they shared Christ with us. Because I knew my friend that shared with me didn't have a good time talking with me during that time until Lord got a hold of me. It wasn't a fun conversation. So I have it kind of fun like when I share with people sometimes. It's like I already knew where I came from and gave them a hard time. People witnessing to me and pretty obnoxious. And only certain people could share. And you guys know that too. Not everybody can share. Not everyone could share Christ with you when you've received. And there are very few people for me. But we can be that person. And during those times when you're trying to live out a life, you're going to see that you're going to be just like under trial, just like Jesus went through. And as there's trials, there's times to be quiet, there's times to speak up. But the things that you speak up are the things that glorify Him. And that's what Jesus did. He glorified the Father when He did it. So I know today's probably crazy. I don't really know. I just, it touched me to learn that probably because when I look at Scripture, I've always remembered the only reason why I'm saved is because God loved me. And since then, my goal is to find out what that true love is. And I constantly see that it's His willing, His blessings, His goodness, His protection are the things that break up the fallow ground in my life. When I can actually look at the things that He's doing and has done for me, that's what breaks up the things in my life that make me want Him more. So probably more than likely because of the bands of love, He got stuck with this today. But it's not a bad thing to remember that our life, the life we have is free. It's a gift. And that's why God can send His Son, right? And the life we live needs to be the same way, a life of giving and thankfulness and a desire to see Jesus glorified, to express that love. Have a good week. Any thoughts?
When you were speaking, Scott, I was thinking about the bands of love, that whole common bands of love. And, you know, I think God has exercised extreme bands of love within people. And it's to keep us from evil. And it's the way He operates our love for us. I mean, just like you restrain children, you have to restrain them from doing everything they possibly can, so they don't get injured or something worse happens.
A lot of those restraints are for good.
They're all for good when God delivers them. Now, even if, yes, the restraint, and that's why it says, the freedom, when He lifts you, you are free. But of the bands of love are from God's point of view, from the, His character that He demonstrates, it's always for your good. Now, we put bands on people and restrain them physically, and that is,
do leashes.
Yeah, we do down into the slave. They're enslaved to things, but God's intention is never to enslave, but to always set free. So, I think working with little kids, you realize that they need some restraining bands of love, and you don't do it because you're just, so mad, you're angry, but something you just, don't want to have a good time smashing your glassware on the table or whatever. You do it because you don't want them to get cut, get injured. How God feels with the children.
And even in the midst of those same things, you could not want them to do it for multiple reasons. They could be selfish or out of true love and care. Yeah, I don't want to have to clean up after your mess. We have those attitudes. But I just, during this holiday season, if you can have the Lord just say, Lord, how can I just surrender even more? And the gift that I receive, be willing to open up and give out. And we only do it as long until you see His righteousness rain down. Come quickly, Lord Jesus. You know? But until then, don't get stuck in your old ways. Be open to learn things new. And most importantly, let Jesus lift your burdens. So, let's pray. Father, we thank You, Lord, that it is through Your loving kindness that You draw us. And I just thank You, Lord, that You have a desire, that you did desire to draw us. Lord, we thank You that You've given each of us a measure of faith, that we could receive that drawing and exercise faith. Lord, as we look in here and see all the things in Your Word, we find that it is all You. That You are the supplier and giver of everything we need. And Lord, help us to continue to remember that, to be thankful, to live a life just open and bare before You. Lord, we don't want the hearts of our ground to be fallow. We don't want it to be rocky, Lord. We would love for Your seed to fall on good and fertile ground. We thank You for where it has, and just ask that You keep rooting out the things in our lives that You don't want there. We just thank You. And Lord, we just pray that through this holiday, Christmas season, New Year's, Lord, that You would be glorified and people would just surrender and yield their lives to You. And we just thank You in Jesus' name.